welcome to this very royal edition of the Sal Licata Show podcast, where the king has spoken, and there is not another owner in sports that I would rather have than King Cohen, which is why we will dedicate this royal episode to one King Cohen. Turn it up, Bada Booms! It is not often that you have an owner come out with the transparency. What am I going to do with this stick here? I'll put this down for now. That you have an owner that comes out with the transparency that you got from King Cohen as he addressed the media the first day that the full team workout took place in Port St. Lucie. And there was a lot that he had to say, and we'll go over three of my favorite cuts and break them down here. But this is why. I mean, I've been trying to tell people for a long time here on The Fan, on SNY, now on the YouTube podcast show, there isn't an owner I'd rather have than King Cohen. He is doing all within his power to make this team a winning ball club. Unfortunately, as he acknowledged many times over, that has not happened. But all you can ask from your owner, if you are a fan, and we've been sports fans for a long time, and the majority of our teams, even with the winningest teams, the Giants, the Yankees, whatever, Yankees haven't won in a long time, Giants haven't won in a long time, and they've been awful. The majority of teams, all you could ask for is the owner put them in a position to go out there and legitimately compete to win a World Series every year and prioritize winning. Give his team the resources necessary to go out there and try to compete. And that's what Steve Cohen has done. And that's why I've been in love with him from day one. That's all he's tried to do. Has it been right every step of the way? No. But he's also learning as it goes on and becoming more frustrated as it goes on, which to me makes him even that more dangerous. He's that much more dangerous when he's angry. You also want to have the baseball people doing what they need to do and making the moves that they need to make. But King Cohen wants it just as bad as any Met fan alive. And that is all you can ask for. That, to me, is why he is a king. And some of the comments here on the first day of full team workouts from the king can't help but make you appreciate and love him even more. Again, the results need to follow. We know that. But let's listen up on some of what King Cohen had to say. The first cut here, Bada Booms, line this one up for me, where we as Met fans have known the history. 40 freaking years. 40 years. As they will celebrate my favorite team ever, the 1986 World Champion New York Mets. But they're my favorite team because I grew up watching that team when I was 6, 7 years old. And that's the last time that they won the World Series, when I was 7 years old in October of 1986. Think about how long that is. You know how much? 40 years of your lives. Unacceptable. And the king knows it. Let's listen to cut number one from King Cohen.
How annoyed are you?
About not winning? Yeah, I'm annoyed. I'm absolutely annoyed. You know, every year that goes by, I get frustrated. And I'm really, listen, I'm really committed to this team. And I know how much the fans care. I know we're celebrating the 40th anniversary of 1986, and that's just too long. And there's a lot of great teams out there. No matter what you do, it doesn't mean you're necessarily going to win the World Series. But I just want to put myself in position every year in the playoffs where we have a chance with a really good team.
Okay. The frustration, you can hear it in his voice. He also is embarrassed by him spending a lot of money and his team still not winning and not even making the postseason to boot a year ago. Those are good things. You want the owner to care as much as you do. King Cohen cares. He's annoyed, and he's right. 40 years. Now, we've been wearing this for 40 years. He's wearing it for 5 or 6 or whatever it's been. Think about that. And now maybe he has a better understanding of it, saying this is ridiculous. It's gone on way too long. It should never happen again. And he's going to do everything in his power to make sure it doesn't, including taking a blowtorch to the core, letting David Stearns do what he has to do to build a freaking winning team. And if they go out there and need a piece at the deadline because they think it's going to be a difference-making piece, they're going to go out there and do that. That's why you have to oh, he cares about the casinos. Oh, he cares about the... No, no, you're wrong. The only thing I can't argue in favor of King Cohen is the results. And that's what matters most. But that's out of his control. Everything that's within his control, he's done the right way. And it's great to hear an owner talk about the frustration that the fans have. Yeah, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed. Every time we lose, every year that goes on, it's more annoying. He thought he was going to win a championship. Steve Cohen thought he was going to buy a team, in this case, the Mets, obviously. I mean, maybe he tried to buy the Dodgers, whatever it may be. But buy the Mets, and because of his money, I'll buy a championship. Just like everything else in his life, I can buy whatever I want. Well, you can't buy a championship. He's learning the hard way. And think about it. For a guy who has everything that you could possibly want in life, there isn't anything that he can't have that he wants in life. Except this. You can't buy winning a World Series. You can try. It's not guaranteed. It doesn't go to the person or team that spends the most money. So this is something that a billionaire can't have. Imagine telling a billionaire you can't have it. What prized art possession? He could go out there and just have the highest bid. I'm going home with it. I don't care how much I overpaid for it. He could have it. And that's why I think the Dodgers upping him on a couple of free agents, whether it's Kyle Tucker, which he spoke about that, being sick about the Kyle Tucker thing, whether it is the way that stuff went down with Edwin Diaz, you watch. Those things eventually are going to start to really get him mad. And then he's going to get, like, let's say with Scooble, maybe he'll go even above and beyond for what he did with Juan Soto to make sure he lands the player. He's got to be smart and disciplined in a lot of aspects, but you don't want the owner, if you're an opponent, you don't want the owner annoyed. I do. I want him annoyed. Because if Diaz spurns him and says, okay, get me the next best closer, I don't care what it costs. Or okay, Tucker wants to go to the Dodgers, when Scooble hits the market, he's coming here. I don't care what it takes to get him. I give him $900 million if I have to. He's coming here. I want him. That's it. End of story. I'm beating the Dodgers out. But having an owner that cares, that's what we want. Cut number two. Now, there was so many of it. He spoke for like 25 minutes. I'm sure a lot of you heard the whole thing, but I just wanted to emphasize and highlight a couple of different things that stuck out to me. Number two, all the nonsense about the clubhouse, the leaders, this, that. Are they going to make Lindor captain? How many years has that fluff, bullcrap story been out there? Nimmo wants the captaincy. Lindor wants the captaincy. Maybe they're going to do it. There was a report. Oh, there was a leak from MLB All-Star Game, or I don't know, even some garbage. Maybe it was a video game, something, MLB.com, whatever it was. Something had a leak that potentially could have meant that the Mets were going to unveil that Lindor is the captain. All nonsense. Listen to King Cohen talk about the captaincy future of the New York Mets.
Any movement to name a team captain, or is that something you don't think is necessary?
As long as I'm owning the team, there will never be a team captain.
Really?
Okay, that was my decision. My view is the locker room is unique, and let the locker room sort it out year in, year out. And so...
So you're not saying that there'll never be one?
But no, they'll never be a captain.
Oh, they'll never be a captain.
They'll never be a captain.
Yes. Decision. There'll never be another captain. My decision. End of story. I don't want to hear it anymore. I don't want Lindor complaining about being the captain. Nimmo, when he was here, trying to be the captain. Whoever else comes in. As long as I am the owner, period, end of story, no more captain. There'll never be a captain named. That's what you want. Not, I don't know. Maybe he could be the captain. Maybe we need to put the C on his chest to make him happy or have him stay. Nope. He's a guy who knows what he's talking about as it comes to personalities. Now, obviously, he's not a baseball lifer, but just knowing how organizations, whether it's business, whether it's a team, it doesn't matter, in baseball, how the structure of organizations work and how different personalities have to mesh and gel and get along and all those things, and how maybe naming a captain can be a negative thing. Well, why is he the captain and not me? And that could create a negative environment. Maybe it's not like the old days where the Mets had Keith Hernandez to be the captain or Johnny Franco, or with the Yankees with Aaron Judge, who may be a special individual. Maybe if the Mets had that type of leader or player, maybe King Cohen would feel differently. I'm not so sure, but I love the idea that King Cohen could sit there and say, as long as I'm the owner, and that's not changing anytime soon, nobody's going to be a captain. I'm not naming a captain. Period. End of story. Put it to bed. Beautiful. End the speculation, end the nonsense. That's it. Sorry, Francisco. You want to be the captain? Then you're going to have to take a trade to go somewhere else. Now, The third and final cut that we're going to play is my personal favorite. This one really touched me at my core. And this was the one that spawned the idea. Truth be told, I was sitting there watching this, the, you know, Cohen addressed the media on Monday. And we had already taped the podcast for the day earlier in the morning, so it was already out there. And the only thing that Cohen had to say at that point was about Edwin Diaz and that he was perplexed by the decision that Diaz made. Okay, whatever. You knew that there was he was obviously perturbed by that. And then I was getting my car serviced, you know, whatever, 63,000 miles. Okay, you gotta go. It, like, life is not enjoying or living. It's all maintenance. Everything is maintaining everything. Your body, your dog's body, your car, like all of it. So I'm sitting there getting my car serviced, and I see this, and when I listened to this clip, I knew that it was time to break out the King Cohen robe and crown. Go ahead, Bada Booms, hit it. The cut number three, when King Cohen showed that he's got a little punch back in him.
The Dodgers had another big offseason. Do you feel they've kind of widened the gap on everybody, or how do you look at that dynamic?
Well, I mean, listen, they're formidable, right? I mean, they have the ability to spend. So do I, by the way. And okay, you know, they built a great team, but I think we've built a great team, and I think we're going to be really competitive this year. And the goal is to meet them somewhere along the way in the playoffs.
So do I, by the way. Not well. I'm worried about the luxury tax threshold, or there should be a salary cap implemented. They have the ability to spend, and so do I, by the way. That is music to Mets fans' ears. That's exactly what every fan could ever want from their owner. But I have the ability to spend as well. That shows me somebody who's starting to not only get annoyed, his words, annoyed with the losses that the Mets have piled up, or, you know, over the last year, and obviously even before that, outside of 2024, but more annoyed as well with getting beat for certain players, whether it's Diaz, whether it's Tucker. There's only one team, and I said this at the time, and I'm going to say it again because it's the perfect day to do it on this royal episode of the Sal Licata Show. Only one team that has gotten the better of one King Cohen. One team. Not the Yankees, not the Phillies, not the Braves, not the Blue Jays. One team. The Dodgers. And that one team has had some advantages where they've had a bunch of players started with Shohei Ohtani that preferred to play on the West Coast. Well, that's not going to be every player. Juan Soto, Exhibit A. Kyle Tucker, I don't think, wanted the smoke. Maybe not the West Coast. He didn't want the smoke of New York. That's some of the stuff that you've heard. I believe that that is the case. And I don't think it would have worked out here so good that he chose the Dodgers. Diaz, a little bit of a different story. But maybe this is the offseason that pushed Cohen over the top to a point where he felt the need to let everybody know, even though we know it, some know it more than others. I was never questioning his willingness to spend. I mean, that has been proven for a long time. So we know it with King Cohen, but he wanted to make sure everybody knew it. Yeah, they have the ability to spend, but so do I. Look out. Look out. You see what happens when you upset the king. I wouldn't make a habit of it. Bada Booms, I didn't call for it there.
I just felt like it fit.
It didn't fit. I want to rap with it. We'll rap with it. Okay, no. Hold on. Just hold the music. It's great music. I understand. Yeah. I understand you got
You got me fired up.
I know. I'll cue you for it.
Yeah.
Just stand by with it. I know. I love it. I'll cue you for it. A couple more minutes here. He let everybody know that he too can spend. And if you upset the king, be careful. Because what I think is going to happen, now, it obviously has to start with the Mets winning. So they have a plan in place. They believe in this team, as do I, but they believe in this team. Let's see if they start to win. If they can win and start to build some positive momentum, not only will he go big at the trade deadline, I think it's going to be an enormous offseason following that. Specifically with Tarek Skubal. I went on record saying I thought the Mets were going to get Juan Soto way before the fact. They got Juan Soto. Skubal's that next guy. I never felt that way about Tucker. I never really felt that way about anybody else. Skubal's the guy. King Cohen will not be denied Tarek Skubal. And you could have a year where the Mets could have some success here. Who knows how far that goes? Either way, I think it's going to result in Tarik Skubal becoming a member of the New York Mets because King Cohen basically just showed his cards. I could spend two. And if Skubal doesn't want to go to the West Coast or is not enthralled by the idea of hanging on with the Dodgers, which I'm assuming he doesn't. You know why I'm assuming that? Because Scott Boras is his agent, just like Juan Soto. Scott Boras is his agent. Generally, Boras clients want the most money. And that's not a bad thing if you're a Met fan. Other fans, that's a problem. Met fan, not a problem. They have an owner that has the resources, and now he's got the edge and the annoyance factor that goes in there to where he may even go beyond what he thought he was going to go or where he wanted to go. Now get ready, I'll cue you for it. Ready, bada booms. Because he is King Cohen! All right, we were a little off with the music there, but... No, you can let it play. Go ahead, hit it. Let it play. Yeah. Yes, King Cohen! I can't yell as loud as I would like to because my daughter's sleeping in the room right next door. So for those of you who are like, you don't have the same energy as you did on the radio show. No, it's just the studio's not there yet. Don't worry, we'll get there. It's the same energy. It's the same passion. It's the same Sal. Hi, it's me. It's been me all along. Just working through some things. Leave me alone. Turn the music up, Bada Booms. Get me fired up. But the king has spoken! And see.
You said the studio's coming along. Does that mean upgrades are on the way?
Let me derobe here. At some point.
I mean, what kind of upgrades?
We're going to get a big backdrop, actually. It's going to be sick. I'm going to have it. It's going to roll down, be a nice backdrop. Ow, that crown made a mark on my head. No, I mean, eventually I'd like to build a studio. I mean...
No comment.
No, I'm just teasing BT. He loves the backdrop. He's all about the backdrop. Looks good, that BT Unleashed thing. He's, you know, the black wallpaper behind him there with the big BT Unleashed. Does look, it gives you a darker studio feel. I'm just busting chops. I was saying this story, I was telling somebody this the other day, that the Bada Boost can't control. The Tiki and Tierney, there was a Tiki and Tierney backdrop. The whole BT and Sal show, there was a Tiki and Tierney backdrop that only said Tierney behind it because whoever ordered the sign measured it wrong. So BT really cared about that backdrop. They bought it, but they screwed up the sign. They screwed up the measurements or something, so it was never right for Tiki and Tierney. Which turned out to be a good thing because when they moved on from that show, it was me and BT, and it didn't matter what the logo was behind it. So they brought it down and you saw the Tierney thing there. But no, I'm talking about Bada Booms. Come on, you got to bust chops like that. I mean, you can't control yourself.
Dude, I have no clue what you're talking about.
Oh my God, man. This is a good time to promote. BT will be on with us Wednesday night, live at 8. Looking forward to that. And I will... Oh, my God. No.
Dude, can you be serious for 5 seconds? I mean, we're trying to do a professional show here.
I know. I'm sorry. Which are right with the crowd and the others. What are we all doing here? I mean, come on. No, I was saying we could maybe just get like a green screen in the back or something, or have something with like the logos on it. I would not rearrange I'm not rearranging the office, but the ultimate goal is to build a studio. I've had people talk to me about that. Like, oh, do you have a studio? Yeah, I have a studio. Like, yeah, I just got fired from my radio job. Yeah, I built a studio in my house that I might have to sell soon. I mean, I'm going to build, like, what are we talking about? I mean, come on.
That I might have to sell soon. I was going to ask, when you build a studio, am I moving in or something?
About that. That's the other thing. Like, how would you get guests on? I legit had somebody that was talking to me the other day and like, oh, do you have a studio? Where do you do your show from? Like, from my office in my house in New Jersey. Like, you want to come out here? Probably
self-docs.
Not. You just do it. Yeah, like, so even for you, if I started doing the show from the studio, let's say I built a studio here, what, are you going to come here every day? Like, it's just...
I'll move to Jersey.
No, okay, well, whatever. Now, but also, how about getting guests in studio? Like, let's say I wanted to book a big guest in studio.
You know what you got to do? You got to go to Home Depot and get one of those sheds and then build it in... No, I'm serious. And you got to build this shed in the backyard, and then the shed becomes a studio. Like when they do the trap houses.
But you're missing the point. You're missing the point. Building the studio is not the problem. And why don't you pop in here? Why are you talking so much off the...
I didn't know I was allowed to. I was... Sorry, you threw me off with the whole... I don't know what was so funny. I was laughing at you. That who was laughing?
What the hell are you talking about? The problem is...
Dude, come on.
Problem,
you gotta be
the
serious.
The problem is not building a studio. The problem is getting guests to the location. Like, yeah, you're talking about shed, I'm talking about basement, whatever. You could build a studio. I mean, it's gonna cost whatever, depending on what size studio you want to get, but let's just say it costs $5,000, $10,000 to build the studio. Then how are you getting the guest into the studio? Like, we had Seth Rollins on. There's no chance in hell.
Seth Rollins, Vince McMahon.
Yeah. No chance. There's no chance in hell Seth Rollins is going to come hang out in Jersey at my home studio. Like, it's just not. In the city is a different story. But then how are we doing that? Who's building a studio in this? You know what I'm saying? Like, I just don't know.
You know who we could get to come in the studio? I'm sorry. You got to be serious, dude. So I can be serious. We could probably get the Mountie.
He'd do anything for a buck.
Oh my god.
Now he'd come in studio, he'd be singing a song. Oh,
that was sad,
boy.
Dude. Come on. Don't make fun of
Mountie. That was sad. 80s WrestleCon.
And then you turn to me, you're like, dude, isn't this so cool? And I'm like, yeah.
No, I didn't say it at that moment, did I? I don't think I said it then.
I don't know.
What was cool for me is seeing some of those guys that you grew up watching just in the same place, but it was very sad. If I had to use one word to describe 80s WrestleCon, it would be sad. Especially when the Mountie was up there. Myers was like, dude, get your camera out now. Grab this. This will be some content.
Yeah, the way Myers was doing something with a fan, and he goes, Sal, look. He stops his interaction with the fan.
Look at this. Your childhood heroes. You're the Mountie. I am the Mountie. He's dressed in full gear. Oh, these
singing the song and everything. I'm thinking about that pizza. I don't know about you, so.
Oh, Third Proof. You know, I found out that it opened only like 3 months ago.
Really?
It's closed on Mondays and Tuesdays.
Mm.
So, meaning like if you crave it on those days, you're SOL.
No TP tonight.
Next time you come in, we have to try another variation of it. Or not. I'm just going to do it on my own. All right. You ready for a little Tired or Wired on this Tuesday as we always do?
Yeah, if you could be serious for 5 seconds.
Yes,
you ready for this?
Go ahead. You're the one who started it. Go ahead.
All right, episode 2 of Tired or Wired. Sal, yes. My first question, Tired or Wired. The evil empire will never return. Is that a Tired or Wired statement?
Dude, sadly, I think that's Wired. I think that's Wired where the Yankees are at. See, we just go over the whole thing about King Cohen, and yeah, I'm a Met fan, but that has nothing to do with it. I mean, I played up a little bit more. I want to hear... Yeah, Aaron Judge spoke for the first time at camp as well. And he was talking about going through the offseason saying, you know, we're the Yankees. Where are the moves? But even the way that they finished up, even after bringing Grisham back and Bellinger back and Goldschmidt back, that's not the Yankees that I grew up watching. And that's what I referenced it before. Like, the Yankees used to beat everybody for the players. Now it's the Dodgers and then the Mets. The Yankees aren't even third. I don't know what's going on. So I think that is actually Wired, and I'm pretty sure that's my first Wired answer, if I'm not mistaken, in this now second edition of Tired. No. Oh, I had another Wired answer?
Yes, to the sports gambling one.
Oh, yeah, that was Wired. Okay. Anyway, so I'm two out of four have been Wired for me. I think it's Wired. I think the evil empire is over, and I think the Dodgers have taken over whatever you want to call it. They can't be the evil empire, can they? Because that, like, belong to the Yankees?
No, the evil empire is the Yankees. It always will be.
Right. Okay. So I think
I think they're
over.
Thanos. I think if we're doing like comic book like things, they're Thanos because they have all the Infinity Stones, and the Yankees are the evil empire. What are you laughing at, dude?
No, I think that's good. Okay.
What is so funny with you? Like,
no, I you gave me the giggles before. And now I can't get over it. That used
46-year-old man here kicking his feet like a
well, you're
like
22. You make me act like I'm. I feel like I'm a young kid sometimes with you and the giggles and some of the.
Is that a compliment
that comes out of your mouth? Yeah, I guess so. You keep me young. All right, you got number two here or what?
Oh well, you. We just said I thought I had to give my opinion on it.
Oh, I wasn't sure. I thought that was your opinion, saying that the Yankees are the evil empire. So what is your thought? Tired or what?
Oh no, they'll never be the evil empire again as long as Hal is running the show here. Never. Like, he clearly has his. Why are you looking at me like I said something wrong?
No, I was waiting for you to finish. I'm gonna ask you a follow up there.
Yeah, so he has his budget. He has his luxury cap. That's it. We're not going below that. That's his salary cap.
Are you envious of one King Cohen?
Yeah, absolutely. But I want him for another sport, not baseball.
You want him for the Jets?
And I think there's still a possibility that King Cohen can be my king at one point.
What makes you say that?
Let's get the Mets a couple of rings. Let's get those casinos up in Queens.
I'm not talking about the money, but you think Woody's ever going to sell?
Oh, hold on. So I'm not there. Yeah. And he starts going like this. Yeah. You ever throw the ones? You know, you're an Atlanta sports fan. You've been down to Atlanta.
I don't think he, I understand the dream. Your dream from a Jets fan perspective should be to have King Cohen buy the Jets. Mm-hmm. I just don't think it's realistic. I could be wrong. I don't think the Mets were ever going to sell. I mean, usually these things don't happen. I don't think Woody's ever going to sell. And I don't even think King Cohen has interest in buying a football team.
I have a question for you that's in line but out of line. So if it's too out of line, you can shut me down. We'll save it for another day. Do you remember the noise around Mr. Hess? Was there ever a similar notion of he's never going to sell?
I honestly don't recall. It's a little bit.
We're going to have to get an older Jet fan. Wink, 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 wink.
Do you know who the hell was the GM when Hess was running things?
Oh, in the 90s?
Yeah, like 98. Steve something?
I should know this.
You probably remember the name. The reason why I'm asking.
I definitely heard the name before.
I rang him up at King Cullen one year when I was working in Bridgehampton, King Cullen. He came on. He was either the GM of the Jets or some higher up with the Jets.
Well, Parcells obviously was the GM when
he was there. I think it might have been before that, or it could have been.
You're talking about during the Kotite era?
Maybe. Hit me with that one. Maybe Parcells came in and got him out.
Kotite was the GM as well, actually.
No. So is there like
Dick Steinberg was the GM?
GM or president, maybe? I don't know. Whatever. You don't have a list of that stuff over there?
I do. We have Mike Hickey, Jim Royer, Joe Walton, obviously I'm familiar with, Dick Steinberg, Dick Haley, Kotite, Terry Bradway, and Parcells. Those are really the most recent one. Steve Sabol, obviously, when they won the championship.
Not him. No, who the hell was? I feel like, is there like a Gutman or a, I don't know. Maybe.
Are you thinking of team president?
Maybe. That's what I'm asking you. It could have been president, too.
Sonny Werblin, Harry Weismer. Somebody's probably screaming at their screen right now if there's a name.
I know. Well, whatever. Send us a comment. And by the way, continue to comment on YouTube. I'm going to have Bada Booms go through all the comments, and we'll put them together and do a care to comment episode. We'll do that. Try to do that as regularly as possible. But I see all the comments on YouTube. I appreciate you guys subscribing and following along. I see most of them. Sometimes I don't know how to even look at all of them, but we appreciate them. Keep them coming. We will reference them on the air in addition to doing some live shows where we can interact as well. So I just wanted to make sure I tease that.
Yeah, even if you're a fan of the show too, and I am going to say this, Al, as the producer here, and you like what we're doing, you could just leave a little heart down below. You know what? All comments help. I know Sal's not going to say that. He's the humble guy here. But as the producer.
If I see them, I do. I'll give him a little like.
No, not you. I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm asking the audience just to give a little heart. But Sal, the second tired of wire.
And we're going to be doing a Mets-Yankees Subway Series pair of ticket giveaway once we get to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube as well. So stay tuned for that. Yeah.
Second tired of wired here. I will. City Field. Is a better playoff atmosphere, than Yankee Stadium? Is that tired or wired?
I think that's tired.
Mm.
I think it's I don't think it's fair to pick one over the other. First of all, I think it's a good question, Bada Booms. There are two totally different circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
One, the fan base who has always had their team in the postseason every single year. There's just no way that it's going to be the same energy for a fan base that has been in the playoffs basically every year for the last 30 plus years versus a fan base that has not been in the playoffs basically at all in the last 30 years. However, in 2024, I would favor the Mets and say that the Mets had the better atmosphere. Team came out of nowhere, was incredible run that they went on. Couldn't beat that energy. Being in the ballpark for a bunch of those games, couldn't beat it. And I went to a bunch of Yankee games at that point too, and it was great energy, not to the level that it was with the Mets, even though the Yankees actually went to the World Series. That being said, 2022, awful postseason atmosphere at both. BT and I used to talk about this all the time. He went to the Yankees against the Astros in the ALCS, said it was awful. I went to the Mets against the Padres, and it was awful. As a matter of fact, it was the worst playoff experience I've ever had, playoff atmosphere I've ever had, certainly from a Met fan perspective, whether it's Shea or Citi Field.
Is that the Musgrove
was the
game?
Well, all three. They were three awful. Mm-hmm. I was at all
three. You were
three
at all
of
three
those.
Of them?
Yeah, and I couldn't believe how lackluster it was. Could not believe it. 2024, again, picked back up. So maybe the way the Mets blew that division hurt people, hurt the fans there and their energy. I still think it's equal. I still put, even though the Yankee fans have seen playoff teams far more often, that place is still loud. I know it's not the old stadium. It's still loud. It's still fiery. And I don't think you could separate the two. So the Mets fans have the hunger going for them, but the Yankee fans are just more loud and almost more, I don't know. I felt a larger presence there outside of just what Citi Field, where the crowd was better because it popped more because of the excitement and disbelief of their team was even in it, if that makes sense to you.
I feel like that's exactly, and I wish one of these I can disagree with you heavily so I can really get into it with you. I have two like perfect near experiences that weren't too far out of mind for me. The closeout game against the Phillies, that was, because I was at that game with my grandfather and my brother, and that was just like madness. Like it was fun, but it was madness. You know what I'm saying?
Why did you go to that game?
Because we support the Mets. Like my grandfather, his father was a Met fan, his mother was a Yankee fan.
How much you pay for tickets?
My grandfather did.
Oh, okay. I mean, they were expensive.
Yeah, just a fun atmosphere. That's the best way to describe it. Last Yankee playoff game I went to was 19, the first home game against the Astros, Cole was pitching. It felt, going into Yankee Stadium, and they always used to say this, especially on that 09 World Series DVD, they talk about how Yankee Stadium has the ghosts. That's what I felt it that night, Sal. That's a real thing. I don't know how to describe it. I don't know if I even believe in ghosts, but that ominous, it feels like you're in a cemetery, but you can harness it. That night, the Yankees did not harness it. Not at all.
Okay.
At Yankee Stadium, when you get down, and especially
you
in
the old stadium?
When I was little, yes. I'm not old enough to remember, but there's pictures of me at the old stadium.
I mean,
you could feel the ghosts.
That was just a different animal, the old stadium.
I think the Met playoff environment, more fun, more I can't believe we're here. The Yankee fan is like instantly angry if they're already down by three in the first inning.
I think it's a great way to put it. They expect to be there. They expect excellence.
Business.
To a high
it's
standard.
Business.
Yeah. Corporate. Business-like. Yeah. Which makes Citi Field in ways a better atmosphere because it's more fun to be a part of that. But I respect the corporate business-like atmosphere because they expect to be there as they should. They're in the postseason every year. All right. Last one and then we can wrap this thing up. What do you got?
Last Tired or Wired. I'm going to keep it baseball here because I like this one a lot. There will be no baseball played in 2027. Tired or wired? Professional baseball.
Dude, tired. I'm so tired of it. This has been going on for months, this talk. Maybe even a year. Oh, there's going to be a strike. Oh, there's going to be a stoppage. Oh, all right, if it happens, it happens. I remember 94. I don't even know if you obviously weren't around, but I don't even know if you know the history of that, how they had the stoppage in the middle.
I am familiar with history.
Okay, stoppage in the middle of the season, didn't play a World Series. I was devastated as a 15-year-old, like, what the hell? How does this even happen? I think it was 15. Yeah, 90, whatever. 14, 15. My favorite sport. This is what I love to watch. The playoffs aren't going to happen. What? So I remember living through that devastation. I think COVID, a different story, but also devastating for different reasons. Like we desperately needed games to be played. We needed something. And they were being pigs about it as usual. I wouldn't be shocked if something happens, but when something happens, I will react to it as we all will, and it will not be pleasant toward Major League Baseball. If they miss games this time, I don't think there's any coming back for them. This is a different time than it was in 94. Remember, and what got them back in it in part was the juice that McGuire was on, Sosa was on, the home run chase, all that stuff kind of brought the sport back. People don't have the attention span for it anymore. People, there's too many ways to be entertained. I don't think people care enough. I don't want to say the sport is dying. Like, I'll always love baseball, but if they screw us, the fans, and go on strike or there's a lockout and they miss significant time, I will never love the sport the way that even I, the biggest baseball lover, will love it. I'll never forgive them for it because enough is enough. The work stoppage is inexcusable, and baseball is always the one with the damn issue. I think it's tired. I don't want to hear about it until it actually happens. While we have games and baseball, that's what we should be focused on.
Yeah, but can I kind of fight that point a little bit? Because I understand your perspective. You're talking about the owners being pigs, which I agree with, after you did a whole King Cohen thing. Yeah, this King Cohen and the rest of them were pigs.
I'm talking about the players, the players' union. Now, I'm not blaming them for getting the most money, but yeah, everybody, the commissioner, all of them, like, they're all pigs about it here. Something's got to get fixed, but they're all being greedy.
Because this is very different from everything else, I feel, with what's going on, like, why they potentially will go to a work stoppage. Am I wrong? Like, this is an unprecedented thing with the Dodgers.
Yeah, but it's not unprecedented. The Yankees just spend more money than everybody. So what's the unprecedented feel here?
I mean, because you're talking about, so there's this monster at the top, and there's teams that are not spending a single dollar.
Yeah, but that's okay. So who's more to blame? Like, I would blame the teams that don't spend a single dollar.
You blame both of them.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. The whole thing is
to push them into the middle.
Okay, we'll figure it out without missing games. I hope. Well, I don't hope because I don't want to miss any games. But I'm telling you, they're playing with fire here. And if they piss off the fans one more time to that extent, I'm not saying miss a few weeks or a few games. I'm saying if they, like, that'd be bad enough. But if they miss half the season or a full season, God forbid, I don't think there's any coming back from that. I really don't believe so. I think people will move on. People are angry to begin with. There are bigger issues going on in the world. I don't think people are going to be sitting there begging and waiting for baseball to come back. As much as we love it, even the diehards, some of the diehards will be turned off by it. I truly believe that.
I'm going to say it's tired. Now, I hope I'm right there that it's tired, that there'll be no time missed in 2027. But I am a little scared this time. I just mentioned that. I'm a little scared that there's a real possibility because of that huge discrepancy that I just mentioned.
Meanwhile, we both say it's tired, and then we talk about it. Like, I guess I answered tired because I don't want to talk about the work stoppage until there is a work stoppage. Like, think about how stupid that is. Why would we talk about a work stoppage now while there are games and activities going on, as opposed to dealing with the work stoppage when it happened? I just don't, people want to write about it and give information on it. That's different. For sports talk people to talk about work stoppage before it happens, that to me is what's tired. But I guess it is wired that it is a strong possibility according to a lot
of people.
So you think
it's a real, so then change your answer to wired if you think it's a strong possibility.
No, I don't think baseball, and I mean, I could be made a fool yet again for saying this. I don't think baseball is dumb enough to have a significant work stoppage.
So I'm sticking with time. Sal Licata drop right there.
I'm sticking
and it's
with
on
time.
Our show this time.
Art, are we done?
Yeah.
All right. Good job there, Bada Booms. So that does it for us. Just a couple of housekeeping things here as I want to make sure we got the promotion up right. BT live with me on this channel, 8 p.m. Wednesday the 18th. Wednesday the 18th, BT and me, this channel, 8 p.m. live. We'll interact with you guys, have some fun, just doing a show the way we normally do it. It's been a while since we've talked together. I was on his channel a couple of weeks ago, maybe even a month ago at this point. I don't know, so we'll have some fun with that. Also, we have some special episodes coming up next week for you. Storytime with Sal, part one and part two. We'll have Stu Feiner, a special guest, working on getting Damian Priest as well. Have some fun with him. So we got a lot in the can there. Mets, Yankees, Subway Series tickets, field level tickets, a pair of tickets to give away. We'll start that once we get to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube. So some work to do, but we have some time to get there. But we'll be doing that special giveaway as well. Anything else, Bada Booms, that I'm forgetting to promote here? Oh, the comments. Continue to comment on YouTube. Bada Booms will be on that. We'll read the comments, have some fun. We appreciate that. Smash that like button, yo. Subscribe, like, download, rate, podcast, Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We'll see you tomorrow. Bye.